Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
I just want to take a quick minute and, one, celebrate our little new area. My table is throwing me off because it's a little taller anyway. You guys may not realize this. I used to set it on the floor. Anyway, that's just me, inside stuff. But I want to take a quick minute and just celebrate. Can you guys just celebrate, round of applause for all our amazing volunteers who helped transition this space. It's really, really cool. They came in yesterday for about 3-4 hours, just because we're working out a lot of different kinks, and we'll be still doing that over the next few weeks. But I just love what God's doing, and it's always a good problem to have when we're trying to make more space, right? Just seeing the growth in each individual's lives, and then also just the growth in our church. But one thing is, so we love your feedback, you know, just because you see it at different angles and different ways. And so we're going to be working this out the next few weeks to make sure it's the best fit for our church, because we believe at the Bridge Church that this is family. We want to build a sense of community, and that we're working and rolling together and as we're connecting with each other. And so we want to interact with each other. We hope that's what you feel. In just a few weeks, we're going to be launching small groups. And so that's going to help intensify some of our community and connecting together inside of our church and what God is doing. So if you're wondering about the Bridge Church, we exist to connect people to Jesus every single day. That's our heart and that's our motive. We are Bible people. We're Jesus people. If you don't have your Bibles, we're going to put the message. They're going to put the scripture for you on the screens as well. And then also we can connect, of course, with different apps and helping you connect with the Bible as well. If you would like a hard copy, we can help do that too. But we're in week 2 of a series entitled Waymaker, and we're talking about how do we grow our faith? How do we connect with Jesus even more on another level? And so today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 is our base verse. And then also we'll be in Romans 10:17. We'll get there in just a few minutes though, Romans 10:17. Everybody still with me? Very good. I love when you talk back and say, yes, I like that. That's good, Daniel. And I can see you better in here. So now, you know, I can get real close to Brad and we can just hold hands. Okay. Let me pray for us. Then we're going to jump right in. If you're a note taker, my title today is I Need It. Those three words, I need it. And we'll have some notes for you on the screen as well. But let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come thankful for who you are. You are our true way maker, God. You are the light in the darkness, God. You have given us clarity. You've given us hope. You've given us freedom, God. And I pray that we can take these first few weeks of the year, as some of us are fasting, some of us are continuing to pray, God. And I just pray that you will speak in a mighty way and speak in the only ways that you can do that sets people free, God. I pray that we will lean into that. I pray for revelation, hope, God, that is in front of us. And most importantly, I pray that you will open our hearts to receive your word, God, and live it out in our lives. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
So we talked about the three words. My title of my message today, I need it. I need it. I don't know if you've ever said that before. If you ever said, you know what, I need it. I need it. Or maybe, I think actually, maybe we haven't said it a lot before, but we've definitely thought it before, right? I need it. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background. Corbin, if you were here a few weeks ago, who's a special guest speaker, he talked a little bit about this. But I'm a shoe guy as well. And so I could be walking through, it could be anywhere. It could be Walmart, it can be Clark's, it could be anywhere. I could walk through and I can see a nice pair of shoes and my mind goes, ooh, I need it. I need it. I wish you could see my wife's text messages, because she gets pictures of shoes a lot. Like, hey, I need these. I need this. I don't know if you have something like that with like clothes. Also, just, okay, don't judge me, hats. If I see a good looking hat, I'm like, ooh. If I see somebody wearing a good looking, I'm like, where'd you get that hat? Paul Moon? Okay, awesome. I'm going there, right? Like, I just love even a new hat, because sometimes there's moments where it's like, hey, I need it. Or maybe you've been fasting for a while and now coffee and cinnamon rolls are like, I need it, right? Like, I just need that look. Or I don't know about the moms in the house. You know that new baby, young baby phase? The sleep, right? You're thinking about sleep like, I need it. I need some sleep right now. Maybe you've thought about it before. And I think about all of those, but I also think about those three words, of course, in that lighter sense. But I think about that in a spiritual sense, that maybe you and I have been in situations, or maybe we're living in a season of life where we're looking to God going, God, I need you right now. I need whatever it is that they're talking about in church, whatever the Bible talks about, what this song was talking about, miracle worker. God, I need that in my life right now. God, I'm facing and what I feel like is a heavy, insurmountable weight in my life. God, I need you to move. I need you to work inside of my life. And maybe you felt that way before. And maybe you've had those types of questions. Or maybe you're wrestling with some of those now. And as you're praying over these 21 days with our church, we're just saying, God, we need you in this moment. And in today's story, in Matthew chapter 17, we come across a guy, a man who has a son, and he is in that exact situation, and that's this scenario where he finds Jesus, and he needs Jesus. He needs a miracle for his son. And so we're going to read here in Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 and 20, but to set some context to get us ready for what this story is saying in these two verses, you see in verse 16, Jesus has just taken his three closest disciples out of his 12, Peter, James, and John, up on the mountain. And they call it, if you read in your Bible, Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus is up there and they begin to pray. And all of a sudden, Jesus becomes almost this more of an eternal being than he is man. And then Elijah and Moses, if you know from the Old Testament, they have passed away hundreds of years before. And all of a sudden now they are appearing before these three disciples, and they have a conversation. Can you imagine being there, like on the mountain? Of course, they see that, and all of a sudden, they just hit the ground and worship. But they're talking, and they get to see this. And so then, after this, they have some crazy conversations. Like Peter's like, "Hey, let's build some altars. Like, let's do this for one for you, one for light, one for Moses." And they talk about all this, and Jesus says, "Wait, wait, wait," and he kind of talks them through that. But then he comes down the mountain. And as soon as he gets down the mountain, he's confronted with this man who's in this situation, this season of life where he's like, Jesus, we need you. Because see, his son has something going on inside of him where he says, hey, my son is possessed by a demon. And in fact, so much so that he's having like convulsions. That's not even a word. He's shaking and is throwing him into fires, is throwing him into water, and his son is perishing away. And he's like, Jesus, I need you. In fact, I've brought him to your disciples. Some scholars believe that he brought him to the other disciples, not because they were up on the mountain. And while this thing is creaking up here, but y'all just stay with me. And so we see this. They bring him down, and we see this picture where Jesus is having this conversation. And during this conversation, they say, hey, I've actually brought my son to your disciples. And they could not cast this demon out. They could not get it to happen. And so Jesus comes. I'm talking about Jesus is one of those types of personalities where he doesn't hold anything back. He's going to speak the truth, right? Because he is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he's sitting there, he's having this conversation with these guys. And he says, oh, you faithless generation. I'm like, oh, Jesus, that you're talking to your disciples that when he said, you faithless generation. And he gives them this rebuke. But then he goes on to say here in verse 19, he says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately. So after that, they brought Jesus together. And Jesus, of course, rebuked them in that moment. And then this is something that's powerful. This is all Jesus does. He leans in and he speaks over the boy. And as soon as he speaks, the demon flees out of this boy, and the boy is set free. One word from Jesus, and this man, this boy is free. The demon has gone out, because all authority rests on the shoulders of Jesus. He proves time and time again that he is the true Messiah. He is the Son of God. And when he walks up, he literally just utters some words and walks in his presence, and the demon flees from this little boy. And then the disciples come together and go, Jesus, hey, how come we could not do this? How come when you walked up, you spoke, and boom, the demon fled, but when we prayed over him, it didn't happen? And Jesus continues here in verse 19, it says, and then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And we read this, Jesus says, hey, because your faith was very little. In fact, if you had faith of a mustard seed, you could, I could see him, because Jesus is the great teacher. He goes, oh, that mountain? You see that mountain? You see how big it is? How vast? You see how big that mountain is? You could speak to that mountain would move just with the faith of a mustard seed. And I read this the first time. I said, okay, well, Jesus, you said they had little faith. And then you said, hey, if you have little faith, you can do it. So he's talking to his disciples and he says, hey, your faith is almost non-existent right now in this situation. That you did not believe enough when you were speaking in that. And he is saying, in fact, if you just had, and I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed before, but if I was holding it up like this, you would look like this. Because you couldn't see it in between my fingers. It's so small. And he is saying, hey, if you have faith of a mustard seed. And so he was saying, your faith is even smaller right now than this mustard seed. He said, but if you believe, and this much faith, the ability opens up to where I can work through in your life and in your heart. And the amazing thing about faith is when you and I, it's almost when our understanding comes here and our understanding begins to falter. And then we have to step out on faith and believe that God is going to be there for us and with us. Because you and I, even for salvation, you and I can talk all day. But at the end of the day, it takes you and I going, Jesus, I turn to you and I have faith in you. I trust you and who you are. I worship. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe 3 days later that you rose again. And even though we can prove all of that scientifically, but there's still a moment where you and I have to say, I have the faith to believe in what that is, to receive what all God has for us inside of our life and inside of our situation. Here's one particular definition I just saw in my study that I thought was really great. Faith is the medium by which the power of God is made visible. Faith is the medium. Faith is what stands for you and I, with the vehicle in which God can use for His miracles to come into place. It's when we put our faith in the right place and in the right person, who is Jesus. And then, of course, I love when Scripture interprets Scripture. If you're studying the Bible, you just always look in places. If Scripture contradicts Scripture somewhere, then you and I have interpreted it wrong, right? Because Scripture interprets Scripture. We're here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
I'm just getting warmed up, okay? Okay, just making sure you're here. It's Hebrews 11, 1. It says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Wow. It says the faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Faith is the confidence and hope for what God can do. You and I, as believers, as Christians, our life, because we have faith in Jesus, some of the decisions we make for people who don't follow Jesus, they may look at your life and go, why? Why did you make that decision? Why did you give that amount of money to that person? Why did you do this? Why do you serve so much? Why did you act that certain way? It's because you and I are going, hey, because our confidence and our hope is in the things that are unseen, are eternal. Because when I serve and I bring in this big old heavy, black, comfortable, beautiful chair and I set it down, it's not just setting a chair down, it's setting a seat for a soul to sit in and to hear God's word, right? It's because I live for the hope and the confidence for what is unseen, for what God can do. I'm believing in what that could look like. And it gives us this picture. I love the confidence of going, my faith, I'm not the source of what God can do. I'm the resource that I want God to use. He is the source. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, and we receive that from Him. And so if you and I are sitting here, we may be thinking, if you and I were sitting down to have coffee and we were talking over that verse and talking about growing in our faith, you may ask me and say, hey, well, if that is the case, how do I grow in my faith? If I have the faith of a mustard seed and Jesus says nothing will be impossible for you, then how do I even get that much? How do I move in that? And as my Christian walk, how do I grow and set up my faith? I'm glad you asked. That's a good question. That's a good question to ask. And so we see this here. And I told you our second verse that we're going to study here for just a few moments in the second half of this message is in Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 gives us this incredibly clear picture as the Apostle Paul is teaching. And in fact, he's teaching one about salvation and saying, hey, our faith in Christ allows us and opens up the door for us. Ephesians 2 says, by grace, through faith, we are saved, right? So the grace makes it available, and through faith is the vehicle in which gets us to that point where then we can accept God's grace, our belief in Jesus. And then it says here in Romans 10:17, I love this. Don't you just love when the Bible's like crystal clear? And so like, oh, I can get that. This here in Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. When you and I hear the word of Christ, when we look at this here, anytime you see the word, like in John 1:1, it says the word made flesh. And in those situations, anytime you see the word, think of the message, Jesus' message, his truth that he is trying to get out. And the Bible is wrapped up in all so much truth, all right here. The Bible is a direct revelation of who God is. And every time we read his scripture, we're receiving his message, we're receiving his word. And it's saying when we hear God's word, our faith begins to grow. And I want to give us three ways today. Three ways. Can you guys handle three ways? Yeah. Okay. Three ways. I feel like we're closer now, you know? Like, hey, how you doing? Like, I just want to sit with you, talk with you. Okay. I'm getting distracted. Go slow. Three ways that we can grow our faith using God's word. And so three ways that we can grow using God's word. And some people may ask me every once in a while, like if there was, you know, one truth, one thing that you could point. I have four amazing kids and three boys and a little girl. And if you were to ask me what I want for them in their life, of course, is a life in Jesus Christ. But I want to direct them to the word of God. I'm like, hey, if you can read this, understand it, learn how to read through it, learn how to do the things that we're talking about today, then I can step away as a dad because their heavenly Father will be directing them through God's word. And our heavenly Father, if they can just get to that. That's why people in China who don't have access to this, they're like smuggling in Bibles and they're trying to reach in. They're trying to memorize chapters at a time because they don't have access to it. Because when we have access to God's word and his message, our faith increases, our faith grows. And he is saying it's so big. And the first one that I want us to see here is read it. And you're like, great, I'm glad I came to church to hear that. And woo, right? Like, read it. I was going to skip over it, right? But I was like, no. Like, we can't. We got to start here. We got to start with the moment of saying, you know what? I have to make time in my life to sit down and read God's word. Or maybe now with technology today, I can set my phone on the desk and hit play, right? And it'll read to me. How beautiful is that? Like I can recline in my recliner and receive God's word. But he's saying, read it to consume it. And I talked about the title that my prayer for us as a church is that we get so hungry for God's word, where we get to the point where we go, I need it. I need it right now. I need it more than I need my Netflix. I need it more than I need my CBS. I need it more than my football playoff life. I mean, that's talking crazy, right? But I need it. I need it in my life because when I consume it and when I read it, I can tell in days if I miss a day or if I go a certain length of time and I have not been in God's word, my whole persona is changed. I start feeling, I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, I haven't read today. Oh my goodness. And it's like the renewing of my mind when I've been in that moment and just allowing it to consume and change our mind. We're in Romans 12, renewing of our mind. God wants us to be consumed and to read his word. You guys got that one? Yeah. And the second one here, this is one I'm really excited about because sometimes we skip over this. It says faith comes by hearing the Word of God, right? And in order for us to hear, we read later in Romans chapter 10 that says that somebody must preach it, right? Somebody must speak it. And before the Bible was written, God's Word was oral, right? They went around telling the stories. And for you and I, we are walking messages for Jesus Christ. And so the second one is to speak it. To speak God's Word is for not only to read it and consume it and allow it to overflow inside of our hearts and lives to the point where all of a sudden we start talking Scripture. Now, I'm not talking about like you walk into work and go, okay, guys, listen up. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your care, you know, like, not talking about that, I'm just saying allow it to be internal. So you may be sitting down at work and somebody goes, hey, you know what? Oh man, I'm working through this with my family. It's just, I'm thinking about it a lot. You can tell they're anxious or worried. You go, hey, you know what? When I'm like that and I'm really kind of just worried about it and toiling over it, I cast my cares onto God because He cares for me. He loves me. And when I do that, He gives me peace. Oh, you're saying Scripture right there. You're saying His message. You're saying His Word right there in that moment. And in that moment, you are breathing and speaking life into that person. Now, it's up to them to receive it and act on it, right? But you are at least putting that seed out there, because if it does take hold and God waters that seed and their heart is open, then God, they will experience something that maybe they have never done before. And I'm talking about, if you want to become a traveling evangelist, meaning I go to work, come home, and all those different things, like not really on the road preaching like this setting, but like you become the greatest evangelist if you and I talk like we have an ongoing living relationship with God. Like, oh, I just talked to Him this morning. They're like, really? You know, it's kind of crazy to think about in 2020. Oh, it's 2020, almost to 2019. 2020, to think about and for us to actually have a conversation, go, you know, when I was praying with God this morning, He said this to me through His Word. And this is what He said to me, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, because we have an ongoing relationship, and they're like, wow, okay, this is real for you. Like, this is your relationship with God. And you and I, we don't have to be forceful. We don't have, hey, there's 21 questions to get someone to the, right? Like, all this thing, it's just because it consumes me. I'm reading it daily. I'm reading it, and now I'm even speaking it. Isaiah tells us that God's Word never returns void. And we just, you and I have an opportunity to go out and to plant those seeds and to speak His Word, because not only are we speaking it for other people, but how many people in here, like me, I have to preach to myself, right? Like, there are so many times when my mind starts racing, my heart starts going all different places, and I'm like, nope, okay, in Jesus' name, I don't need to have that thought, taking every thought captive, as His Word says. But I'm taking that thought, and I'm going, okay, nope, this is how I feel. Now, this is what God's Word says of how I should feel, how I should interact, and how I should navigate with my life. Because I don't know about you, there for me, there are moments and seasons when there's doubt, right? When there's fear, when there's anxiety, when I don't, just like that song, I don't, my feelings are not in the same place where I want to be. And we're talking New Year's resolutions, same with like eating and working out, right? There's days I don't want to run, right? There's days I don't want to, but there's moments, and it's healthy for you and I to go, okay, I don't feel it right now, God. I don't feel it, but Your Word says You will never leave me nor forsake. God, I feel alone right now. And for you and I to stop and go, okay, I feel alone, but God, I know You are near. I know You are with me. God, I know You're speaking to me. I just want to give you a couple of verses here. They're not on the screens. I apologize. But, you know, for all of this, and I hope that we can just give you some tools. If we think about maybe if we're anxious or worried, Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. This is beautiful. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Recently, I read that verse and it spoke so clear to me. And I think I was wrestling over some things, and I took my phone out and I set a reminder to send me every day at 3:00, send me this verse, boom. And so I know, okay, God, I'm praying this to You. I'm not going to worry. This is You, God. I know, because if I do this, Your peace, which transcends all understanding, will flow in and through me. Sometimes there are seasons of life where we feel heartbroken, right? Where everything inside of us feels like it's falling apart. Here in Psalms 34:17, verse 17 through 20. You guys still there? Yep. Very good. It says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles, and the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Amen, right?
Amen.
Just even that principle there of saying God is close to the brokenhearted. So even the fact that our heart is broken in this season, God sees that and He cares, and He says, you know what? My presence is gonna be even nearer right now. You're gonna experience me almost in a different way. My grace is gonna cover you during this season. I'm gonna be walking with you. Last one here. And I thought about this because a lot of recent things in America can feel unstable, right? It can feel like, oh, what does this mean? What does this look like? And fear can begin to drive our thoughts and our emotions. And the Holy Spirit just kind of made this verse pop up in my mind, and it's so good. And so even in those moments of God, what is happening here? In John 14:27, He says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 14, He's saying, hey, the world can't give you. You can try everything that you can, but the world will not give you the peace that I can give. And I think even in this season of our life, as we're looking on social media news and all that, we see that the world can't offer that. But Jesus is saying, even in that, I am still on the throne. Even in that, I can still give you. Don't be troubled or afraid. And you and I have the opportunity as believers in the faith, when everything is shaking and it feels like the foundation of what we used to stand on in our life is moving away, and our friends are worried and they're running around going all of this, you and I have the opportunity to speak in faith and saying, hey, we don't have to be troubled or afraid, because God gives us peace in this situation. The world is not going to give it to you, but His word will, and your faith will increase. And you and I get to stand on what God's word says every single day. And whenever I see that, hey, the Bible predicts that it's not even going to get better, it may even get worse, right, and darker, and I say, well, good, because my light shines brightest in the darkness, right? Like, I can stand up in moments of turmoil and trials and go, you know what God's word says? And you're seeing that the foundation is being shaken, but God's word is true, and my hope and my confidence are not in the things that are seen, what you and I are seeing today, but it's in the unseen. It's in the eternal. It's in my King of Kings, my Father, my Daddy still sits on the throne. And He created this world, and He can speak in an instance and move inside of our lives and inside of our hearts. And so speaking God's word. And then the last one here, y'all got me too excited. I went over on that one. This last one here is to live it. To read it, speak it, and to live it. And when I say live it, you and I have an opportunity when we read it, right? Now we're speaking it. But also, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells this parable. He tells us this story, this earthly story, but with a heavenly meaning. He tells us, and He says, hey, you know, think about your life. And the wise man who takes God's word and applies it to his life is like a man who's building his life on a sturdy foundation. And so when the rains and the winds and the storms and uncertainty comes, you see his house still stands. But the man who is unwise, right? And he says, hey, he doesn't build his house. And it's like he's building his house on sand, shifting sand. And it's like we're going down to the beach at Caligny Beach, right? And trying to build my house in there. If the foundation is not right, when the storms and the rain and the winds come, all of a sudden our foundation and the house begins to fall. And so my question to you is, what are we building our life on? What are we building our values, our decisions, our goals for 2020, right? Like, here we go. And me, I love goals. I'm a dreamer at heart. You don't have to go, hey, Daniel, what are you dreaming about, right? Because I'm always like, yes, let's go, let's do more. But there are moments where now that I'm getting older and I'm reading God's word, it's like, okay, my goals need to be wrapped in my values. My goals need to be wrapped in what I'm building my life on. And God is saying, what are we building our life on? And our life should be built on God's word. Because if you think about God's word, he's saying, I created you. I know the number of hairs that are on your head. I know the way you think. I know the way you talk and act. I wired you that way for a reason. If you will build your life on my word, I know you best. And he says, my word is faithful. My word is true. And he says, I have come to give life and to give it to the full, give it abundantly. So he's saying, build your life on my word for you and I to read his word. That's why we, during this time, we're doing this thing called SOAP. And so if you read God's word, it's a little acronym, not like in the shower, like, woo, I love my soap. But this SOAP, where it's the acronym, it stands for scripture. It's like that scripture spoke to me. And then O is the observation. Okay, what is it saying to me in this moment? What is scripture saying? And then A is the application, the living at peace. Okay, now what am I going to do? Because I read this verse. What am I going to do because I read this in my scripture? And then even the prayer, the speaking at peace of going, God, help me to do this. You may read it and go, ooh, you know what? I had those moments here. And I need to shift. I need to change. Some of it may be where God is trying to fill us up. Some of it, God may be saying, hey, I want you to redirect. I want you to change that. Because there are seasons in. Is it okay if we get a, if I get a little vulnerable with you guys? We're all family here, right? So we're a two-year anniversary. We're going into year three. I've been now, we started before we actually had public services. We had small groups and all that kind of stuff. But in year one for me, there were things that I realized in my foundation that there was maybe some still little sand pockets. And nothing changed, right? Nothing changed. Like, I was still reading God's word. I was still growing into faith. But you know what changed? The weight of responsibility. I went from a student pastor to a lead pastor. And in that first year, there were little things I started to realize in my life going, whoo, hang on a second. Now maybe there was no weight in that area of my life, so I didn't really address it. But now that there's more weight of responsibility in that, I think you and I will experience that, right? Even like think about it as a parent. Like, we didn't have to think about that weight of responsibility. And then you become a parent, and all of a sudden it's a whole new weight of responsibility. And you're going, wow, I didn't know that was a part. I didn't know that came down generationally like that. Like, I didn't know this happened. And so there may be things and seasons of life where we go, okay, I need to go back, kind of dig that sand out of my foundation and replace it with God's word, and saying, okay, now I need to go back, and my faith is going to grow in those seasons and those different weight changes, even in responsibilities. And it's the beautiful thing. That's why God's on a formula, God, of going, hey, if you do this, each and every one of us are unique, and our minds are wired just a little bit differently, and our relationship comes before responsibility, because everything flows out of our relationship with God. That's how it gets continued to connect with us in this. And so I want to close here with just this piece of scripture. Because if we're talking about growing in our faith and the things that we talked about, and I believe so strongly on the Word of God, here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated on the right hand of the throne. You and I hope we can take 2020. You can take today. You go, you know what? I'm gonna stop. My life, the trajectory I'm going in, I'm going to look for Jesus. The easiest way you and I can stop and look for Jesus is to open up His Word. It's for you and I to go, you know what? I'm going to be in His. I'm going to make a commitment to be in His. If it's just one verse a day, a chapter, whatever it needs to be. But I need it, right? Like, I need it in my life. I need to build my life on. I'm going to go back and look at my goals and go, okay, what does God's Word say? What does my goals need to be centered around my life? And God is saying, I want you to build your life on this, because I am the author and the perfecter of your faith, of my faith. And He is saying, look to Jesus in that. And so we're going to get ready to sing a last song here for service. But you see the stage, it's a little creaky right here. But I thought we were going to put carpet on here. It's going to be nice. You know, he's going to be able to stomp while he's singing and stuff. But I thought it would be incredible for you and I first, before we put some carpet on here. We have some we're going to set up here. So before you leave today, they may be singing on it. You may not want to do it during the song, but right before you leave, I want to write God's word on the top of this stage. because I want this space to be for God. And almost as a reminder of going, okay, when I look up here, that's where God's word's going to be proclaimed, either through song or worship or testimony or whatever it may be. But I want this to be almost like a commemorative moment for you and I. So maybe you have a verse that has like stuck with you, that you repeat it, that you constantly almost go back to, and you want to write that on here. Or maybe you don't. You just want to Google a awesome verse, right? And then we just come in here and we write this on there. But God begins to do that. Maybe you want to write a prayer on here, a declaration for our church, or a declaration for your life, because I hope we can see that. And then as we come in later, you know, we can pray over those, speak those into our life, and everything that we do, we can stand on what God is doing. So my question as we close is, what are we building our life on? And God is saying, hey, I want you to take the steps to read it, to speak it, and to live it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth, God. Thank you for the people that are in this room and how you have just bonded us together in community. And I just pray that as we see new people come in this year, God, I pray that they feel open to your word and to your truth. And I just pray that you will speak to our hearts. Guide us and direct us, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will just reveal areas in our life that maybe we still feel like, oh, that's some sand there. There's some shakiness there, and I need to dig that out. Maybe I need to ask for forgiveness for that area. Maybe I need to turn from that area. Maybe I need to replace it with a piece of God's word, a piece of identity, God. God, and I pray that you will stretch and grow our faith step by step. May we trust in you more, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.